Samuel L.
Hamburgers.
Is your website purdy?
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Does it work right?
This is a tasty burger.
Can people find it?
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Say it!
Man, you been.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast. Because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Mind Development and Design, presented by you, because without you, I'd just be sitting here talking to myself, wouldn't I? Thanks for listening, however you're listening. Thank you for listening through iTunes, through Stitcher, through Google Play. Thank you for the love on Facebook, the love on Pinterest. Keep your questions coming in. We love answering your questions on the podcast. Don't be shy. Development, design, anything marketing-wise, whether it's SEO, social media, pay-per-click, we've got the team that can help you here. So keep your questions coming in. We love helping you on the podcast. And this week, oh man, this week, this is heavy. This is heavy for me. It really, really kind of bothers me as we're looking at the man we all know as Prince. Now, any of you that have been listening, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know I love music and I love pro football. Especially, I pine for the classic era of pro football, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And there's a lot we can learn to inspire us in business from these arenas. These are two arenas that are very close to my heart, so I like to draw on them. And it's I've had a really heavy heart with it lately. Because today, we're looking at the man we all know as Prince. His name is Prince, and he will always be funky. Prince Rogers Nelson, who tragically passed away. And we'll probably never know the real story, so I'll stop with that. I really like to look at the entertainers and artists that we love and analyze a bit what we can learn from their success, their business model, if you will. We did it around a year ago. In fact, I think that was one of the first times I did it with David Letterman when he retired from his show on TV. There's a lot of really cool stuff we could learn from how he developed his show and the way he treated the people who helped him produce that show. So we did it with David Letterman about a year ago. I do it probably once a year with Clutch because besides being my favorite band forever and ever, amen, there's a lot we can learn from their do-it-yourself work ethic and the success that it has brought them. Entirely on their own terms. Sadly, we've been doing it a lot lately with Lemmy of Motorhead leaving us in December and then David Bowie leaving us in January. And now, just a few months later, it's Prince. It's really hard for me because these are some of my favorite artists and I love them for different reasons. Lemmy, I'm a diehard Motorhead fan because although they're considered not only a part of the heavy metal genre, I mean, I'm admittedly a metalhead. I like all different kinds of music, but I love me some loud guitars. But Motorhead, they're credited with pioneering, however accidentally, the genre known as speed metal. I mean, from Metallica to Anthrax to bands of today, that play metal. I mean, Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters. I mean, they're not necessarily metal, but they're definitely hard rock. I mean, people have been trumpeting accolades to Lemmy all over the place. They're kind of known as pioneering, again, however accidentally, the genre known as speed metal, even though if you strip away the distortion, Motorhead always was basically Chuck Berry after a dozen pots of coffee and no sleep till Hammersmith. I mean, that was their sound. And they owned their sound, and you either liked it or you didn't. If you liked Motorhead's sound, there was a really good chance you're going to like the next album. If you didn't like their sound, you know, you need to move on to somebody else because the next album is probably not going to change your mind. Then there's Bowie. David Bowie's influence is everywhere, and I believe he always was much more of a true artist than 90% of the people making music today, and indeed many of the people that he influenced. I'm not standing here saying that I'm the biggest Bowie fan in the world and that I liked every song he recorded, but I am saying there is everlasting merit in honesty. Everything he did, even if you didn't like the songs, they were at least worth your time to listen to them. Because they were crafted. He didn't just, you know, spit out an album for the sake of spitting out an album. Bowie was true to himself as an artist, and his work reflects this. If this weren't true, he would have recorded Ziggy Stardust parts 2, 3, 4, and 100 by now. Or he would have recorded Let's Dance parts 2, 3, 4, and 200 by now. Maybe he would have even been so brazen as to call one of the follow-up albums Cash Cow. Or something like that. It would be a very Bowie thing to do to pull something like that. See, David Bowie evolved. I really hate it when people say he was a chameleon. If that were true, he would have had more huge hit albums. He had his hit albums. But most of his albums were moderate successes. You know, compared to, you know, your number one or number your top 10 albums. He was not chasing fashion. Fashion was chasing him. And occasionally it would catch up, and that's when he would have a hit album. And then there's Prince. His name is Prince, and he will always be funky. This guy wells up a world of emotions and thoughts in me, and I don't want to repeat what we have already covered with regard to either Lemmy or Bowie. That's okay because Prince delivers more diversity and points that we can all learn from to inspire our own businesses. That's why I like doing this. Motorhead was a business. David Bowie was a business. David Letterman, the David Letterman show, the late show with David Letterman, late night with David Letterman, whatever you want to call it, was a business. What made them tick? Prince was a business. What made him tick? This week, we're looking at Prince and what we can learn from his success to make all of our businesses more funky. First, don't ever underestimate yourself. You can go on YouTube right now, and I encourage you to do this. Especially those of you, those of you who aren't approaching 50 like I am, and may not remember when Prince was brand new back in 1978, 79. I encourage you to go to YouTube right now and find Prince's first performance on TV on American Bandstand with Dick Clark. And you can see firsthand how humble the man was. He played all of the instruments on his early albums. But when Dick Clark asked him about it, he tried to avoid direct answers. Because he had his band there with him on the show, and he wasn't going to disrespect them. No, they didn't play on the album, but they're playing with him on tour. If you're a business manager, a business owner, a CEO, whatever, how much do you show respect for your team? How much does that show on your website and in your everyday business? Do you want to take credit for everything? Or do you uplift those around you? And we covered this when we talked about David Letterman a year ago. That was a big part of Letterman's deal. People he worked with loved him. That's why most, maybe not all of his people, but most of the people involved with his show followed him to CBS after NBC because they were loyal to him. They weren't loyal to the station. They were loyal to him because he helped them. He uplifted them. It's the first time I can ever remember a talk show host drawing the staff out to be in front of the camera on a regular basis and actually making them a part of the show. So you actually felt closer to the show. Like this might be your next door neighbor, you know, in a strange way, kind of a Wayne's World kind of thing. You know, we all know Wayne and Garth, but, you know, we don't know Jimmy Fallon because he's up on that big stage. No, Letterman was your next door neighbor who was making you laugh and introducing you to some other cool people. One thing I've always believed is that there's no such thing, as John Mayer said, there's no such thing as a self-made man. No such thing as a self-made woman, whatever. That's about the most selfish statement that one could ever make. Where does your money come from? It doesn't come from self. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to work, right? You already have the money. How does that work? We are social creatures. As the great philosopher George Thorogood said, let's work together. Prince could play all the instruments because he was one of those rare gifted talents. He couldn't do it all in a live performance, though. And he showed respect to his band in moments like this on American Bandstand. And again, I encourage you to look this up on YouTube. It's there, and it's really cool to see. Because he was 19. I think he even says it in the interview with Dick Clark that he's 19 years old there. Just imagine that. Now, if you're an owner, manager, CEO, SOB, or whatever, how much are you honoring those who make your business what it is? This is the first thing that we can learn from Prince's career. From the very beginning, he did this. And again, Letterman did the same thing in building his show. When you uplift those around you, everyone indeed wins. Which brings us to point number two. And everybody wins legitimately because everybody's working together. It brings us to point number two, respect. And yes, that's a nod to the great Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Don't ever disrespect those you work with and who contribute to your success, and vice versa. As I just mentioned, even though Prince played all of the instruments on his early recordings, it wasn't an ego thing. It's just he was that talented and had that kind of work ethic and wanted to get the music out there. And he knew, I know what I want these songs to sound like. I know how I want this to be. It's going to take a lot less time because he had to work with a budget in those days. I mean, not that he ever didn't have to work with a budget, but he really had to watch his budget in the early days because he was a new artist. So why not go in and record it myself when I know I can do it and I can get the result I want, and then I'll get a touring band. And then this thing will evolve, as it ultimately did. He was just that talent and had that talented and had that kind of a work ethic. And you know, when you think of Prince and his immaculate wardrobe and how he presented himself, the word humble doesn't necessarily come to mind. Yet, when you see him in interviews and you hear people who have interviewed him talk about him, they talk about how shy and very humble he actually was. He had this stage persona because he knew people were coming out to see him. They don't want to see their next door neighbor on stage at a concert like that. They want something kind of otherworldly in a way. So because that's how we've seen him so much, the word humble doesn't necessarily come to mind, yet it's pretty amazing how his philanthropy is slowly but surely revealing itself after his death. And I want you to think of philanthropy with regard to your business. What are you doing to give back? Now, musically, he respected his fellow musicians and uplifted them, including helping to launch numerous careers, The Time, Sheila E., and there are definitely others who are performing and touring today, even. But philanthropy, you know, one of the things that repulses me possibly more than anything that a business owner has ever said to me in my life is what was said to me by one of the business owners for a company that I worked with, you know, before becoming a part of Mind. I was working in marketing. I was looking at ways that we as a company could give back to our community. And this one member of the three-person partnership said, and I quote, "Yeah, philanthropy is hot right now." Philanthropy is hot. Huh? WTF? I do not understand this language which you speak. Philanthropy is a mentality, a way of life, a philosophy, a constant. You either care and want to give back or you don't. And I'll ask you this with regard to your business. And whether it's internships, whether it's doing things for your community, whether it's giving to charities, whether it's giving money or giving time to charity. or to something that you believe in, to the school systems? What are you giving back? I challenge all of you to do that, because it's a challenge for us all every day, because we're trying to earn a living. Prince never talked about what he was doing to give back, because he didn't believe in doing that. You do what you do because you believe that it's the right thing to do. So now we find out that in 2001, he donated $12,000 to the Louisville Free Public Library System. We find out that he paid off the balance of the medical bills for the great drummer Clyde Stubblefield. And if you don't know who Clyde is, you know who he is. You just didn't know that it was him. He is the funky drummer. Take a listen to the iconic song Funky Drummer by James Brown, and there you go. It is the most sampled drum beat in history. Public Enemy, Run DMC, LL Cool J, Beastie Boys, and Prince himself are just a sample of the artists who have sampled Clyde Stubblefield's drumming on this song. He had to have a kidney transplant and dialysis. That ain't cheap treatment, friends. Prince helped him and never said a word about it. He made like Nike and just did it. And I didn't get paid for that name drop. Do not underestimate philanthropy. And it's uncomfortable to talk about it like this because it's not a marketing tool. It ultimately does help you as long as it's honest. You know, what it is an opportunity for you to give back to people and entities who matter to you and who may have helped you along the way. This follows you throughout your career. This helps define who you are and the purpose behind your business and the work that you do. How do you matter beyond what you sell? Yes, we all want to make a living and we have to pay for a roof over our heads. You do, I do, everybody does. Okay, we got that out of the way. Now what? Do you want to buy a pet tiger or have a pet shark in a huge swimming pool tank that you're not going to be able to afford in 5 years? Like a lot of these rookie athletes and some musicians do. Then they file for bankruptcy and want us to feel sorry for them? No. Or do you want to do something good and lasting with your earnings? Prince, for all his over-the-top presentation, he earned a reputation for letting his heart show where it mattered most. I challenge you. I challenge myself. What can we do to give back? Because that is what defines us beyond what we sell. And then third, take chances. Don't feel like you have to merely play the typical business game. That is crap, ladies and gentlemen. That is a concept that ultimately devours itself. True progress cannot happen if we are only following a tried and true blueprint and not trying to make it better and expand it with new ideas. If you don't take chances, you will never progress. Business this year is different than business last year. Change is always happening. When Prince recorded his first album back in 1977, it was actually released in 1978, but he recorded it in 77, he was 18 and played all the instruments himself. And, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, the American Bandstand performance, Dick Clark was asking him questions that made him visibly uncomfortable because he knew he couldn't do it all himself as far as live performance, and he didn't want to take all the credit. He never lost sight of the big picture. He started off in very unorthodox fashion in this way. Then he went on to have numerous hit albums on the Warner Brothers record label, you know, throughout the 80s. And then came the Love Symbol album in 1992, the beginning of the era where he was referred to as the artist formerly known as Prince. This was, quite frankly, a huge chance, a huge risk for him, because most of us were looking on and going, what the heck is wrong with this guy? Is it drugs? Is he just nuts? What's going on with this guy? All of a sudden, he doesn't want to call himself Prince. He creates this symbol, and he appears on TV with the word slave written on his cheek, and we're all wondering, what is going on? He's changing his name from Prince to an unpronounceable symbol, so we have to give him this long new name. The artist formerly known as Prince. Can't call him Prince, but we can call him the artist formerly known as. I was working in radio at the time in Louisiana, and no one knew what to make of it. But we just rolled with it. I mean, what else are you going to do? The music was still good. It was the same guy. But why this? And then, perhaps so as to keep us guessing even more, the second single off this album with the unpronounceable symbol was called My Name is Prince. That's why I keep referring to My Name is Prince and I Am Funky. I just always loved that. Especially in the aftermath, knowing why he did it, I love it even more. But at the time, why on earth would he change his name to an unpronounceable symbol and then create a song proclaiming his name as Prince? The truth didn't come out. I mean, this was 1992. The truth didn't come out until 1998 when he released the controversial Crystal Ball album. There was a whole internet fiasco over that because, I mean, 98, this was new territory as far as the internet and music. But he released the controversial Crystal Ball album, his first since 1991 under the name of Prince. Now, his first that he authorized. Now, bear in mind that Warner Brothers, in the meantime, released the infamous Black album, which was shelved. But for whatever reason, they decided to release it during his Love Symbol era. And it was such a fiasco. You may not know it, but the whole artist formerly known as fiasco was the result of him realizing that the contract he had signed with Warner Brothers when he was a new teen musician gave them the rights to his name, Prince, as a brand. His name truly is Prince, Prince Rogers Nelson. And he took issue with the label claiming ownership of his name. And I don't blame him. How would you feel? My name is Mark, and I'm not funky. But I would not be in agreement with a corporation claiming ownership of my given name. Prince pulled a move that you, me, everyone should be challenged by in your business. You may never face anything like this. I may never face anything like this. But look at the risk that was involved. And then ask yourself, how are you challenging yourself in your business? He believed in this principle behind the issue so much that he stopped using his own, that he stopped using his name on his own albums. Now, the last time I can recall a band doing this prior to this was Led Zeppelin on the Led Zeppelin IV album back in 1971. They got tired of how they were being slagged by music critics and all, and they believed that their albums weren't being fairly criticized or analyzed because people would see, oh, it's a Led Zeppelin album. So to prove their point, they released their fourth album with no mention of their name on the cover, no mention of their name on the spine, and no official title. They actually never called it Led Zeppelin IV. It's just that no one else really knew what else to call it. And in the end, it didn't matter. Many regarded it as their greatest album. The music overshadowed the lack of a name. When Prince went through the Love Symbol era of his career, he took a huge risk and had to trust that his music was more important than any labeling and that enough people would recognize this. Are you willing to take these kinds of risks in your business? Because again, business evolves every year. Are you willing to take these kinds of risks? Am I? Are we? Most of us are not dealing with the insane dollar amounts that Prince dealt with, but that's a moot point. The dollar amounts that we are dealing with are the dollar amounts that provide our respective livelihoods, so they are every bit as relevant. Many of us will give in rather than fight because we're afraid of losing our livelihood, when we really should trust that our own purity of purpose and that our own caring about the work we do and the people we serve will ultimately produce what we all need to live. For so long, the perception has been, and in many ways still is, that in order to make it, you have to leave your friends and family behind, basically. You have to move away to Los Angeles or wherever to become a star. Prince has always been in Minneapolis, up until his death Minneapolis. In spite of the controversies and success and trials and tribulations, he stayed home in Minneapolis and helped foster the musical culture there. He took risks and helped foster the musical culture there. That was what he did. It was his livelihood. Your own purity of purpose in what you do. Your own caring in what you do. Your own willingness to give back to your residential and business community. Your own willingness to take risks. Your own willingness to challenge yourself to be better. Your own willingness to stay true to your own heart. And stay true to what you believe in. And the purpose, the purity of purpose behind your business, that is what ultimately allows you to help foster a better business culture where you are. You can make a difference. Thank you for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast presented to you by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thanks for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, following us on Pinterest and Facebook. And for your comments, suggestions, and keep those questions coming. We love them. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
Oh, you were finished. Well, allow me to retort.